Welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we discuss Robin Scorpio's death on General Hospital, Will's kiss on Days, could Jack Wagner end up on Dancing with the Stars, and Jess Walton stays at Y&R. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Jamie, welcome.
Hey.
Jillian, welcome.
What up?
And Mel, welcome.
Hey, hey.
Well, General Hospital this last week. Some amazing performances from one group of actors and a really crappy storyline in another area. Let's start off with the really good stuff. In terms of performances, it's sad that Robin Scorpio was killed off, but it's provided some excellent opportunities for Jason Thompson and Finola Hughes, John J. York. Jamie, what'd you think?
Well, I think that it was pretty much evident, starting with Tuesday with Ron Carlovati's first air show, that this show was ramping up. Like, a lot of stuff, a lot of threads got exploded, and they inherited Robin's death, and, you know, good God, who would want to inherit that story? But like you said, it's led to some amazing stuff. I mean, John J. York is like, I'm still here. you know, I ain't never went anywhere. Don't call it a comeback. You've had me this whole time and you haven't used me. And I'm going to be honest, he's really impressed me because I just kind of got to where I was almost seeing Mac through the regime's eyes. I just kind of saw him as this eunuch who raised everybody's kids because, you know, I wasn't watching when Mac came to town as a mercenary and all that back in the early 90s. I didn't start till about 93. And by that point, he was already sort of heading toward daddy mode. Not yet, because, I mean, he still had, like, little dalliances with Dominique and all that before he got with Felicia. But basically, from the time he got with Felicia, he has just basically been stuck, you know, taking care of everybody's kids while they run around and save the world. And one by one, these girls that he raised just keep dropping like flies. I was like, Maxie, better take her nitroglycerin because if Uncle Mac raised you, you under a bad sign.
Oh, stop it.
Jillian, what'd you
Georgie,
think?
Look, Georgie laying, look, and they don't just die natural deaths either. Georgie laid all out like a slab on those
Well, and that scene where they had the giant yellow body bag for Robin, and right, it was just there.
Robin just went kaboom!
Jillian, what did you think of Robin's storyline this week?
I enjoyed the performances. I've been watching GH since the 80s. You know, I'm an 80s baby. I've been watching it since way back when. I always knew John J. York had the chops. I just didn't understand why Bob Guza and other regimes would not write for this man. He keeps himself fit. You know, we all know how the daytime go. If you look a little, they put you in the back. Depending on who they are, they put you in the back. But he's kept himself fit, and he can act. He destroyed those scenes when he found out that, you know, forget Maxie and forget Georgie. Robin was pretty much his little girl. You know, he grew that little girl up. I mean, he grew up the other ones, but that was his kin. And I just felt it when he found out, when he was like, no, not Robin. I started to tear up. I was like, oh, geez, you're going to make me cry. I felt Ron's presence there. I felt it with Finola. Finola did a phenomenal job. However, I was not impressed with the overall, with everything else behind Robin's storyline. I said it on Twitter. You know, Robin was, you know, Robin grew up in that town. Robin was the chief of staff. And I don't know about you, but when a hospital goes kaboom, ain't nobody, where I'm from, even if a fire alarm breaks out in a hospital, everybody is like, see ya, people. At General Hospital police, they're still like, yeah, Robin blew up. Can you pass the mustard? Everybody walking around like nothing happened. I was not amused, as Jordan Hudson would say. I was too through with that. And I just felt as though that it was all about Jason. I, you know, I
well,
kept...
Well, that's the trademark of this show.
Well, you know, I felt as though it was all about Jason. When Sam was like, you can't tell Jason, I want it. Look, I want Anna to karate kung fu chop that chick in her face. I was too upset with that. It was, you can't tell Jason. What will Jason feel? You know, it just felt as though, you know, this wasn't that huzzy and white. And this is Robin Scorpio. I would have appreciated a better send-off for her. I was hoping, you know, maybe later on throughout the week we'll get it. But no, it was, it was all about Jason.
I think next week is when it really, because Robert and Holly both come back next week. And the rest of the town is going to find out next week. I think they kind of played the storyline in real time, whereas everybody was finding out one by one. So I think the overall, because there was a lot to get done in three episodes, you know, Robin's death, getting rid of all these, like, because next week the woman in white bites it. So there was there was a lot to do in 3 days, and yes, it coincided with Robin's death, but you have to remember, all of that was already written when Ron and Frank came in. Then they said, let's see if we can salvage this a bit to try to, you know, so it was already written in stone, and it's not like the days when Gloria Monty came in and they said, okay, you can just throw out the last five episodes and we'll reshoot, because they don't have the money to do that. So they were like, how can we cut and paste to make this better than what it would have been? A lot of that is that, you know, it's the passing of a guard and it's, you know, it's disjointed. But
well, I'm not saying I'm just happy to see more lighting on General Hospital with the passing of the guard. It's like all of a sudden Frank takes over and the lights come on.
And said it was naked the whole episode.
Yeah, well, I'm not debating the passing of the guard thing, but at least if the hospital, if your former chief of staff and sister friend got blown to smithereen, I would expect people not to be walking around like it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. I was like, what is this? I was just a little bit bothered by that. I was like, you know, you would think if your colleague and close friend was blown up, if something happened in the hospital, there would be an evacuation, something. You know,
they did they had the dialogue where Anna said the fireman said there was no need to evacuate because they contained it, and you know, but I get your point. A lot of people on Twitter were agreeing with that it was like, dang, people are just like going around with their bedpans.
You know, Epiphany's like, Robin blew up, and so damn what? You go get Miss Johnson her water.
I bet you next week we'll see a lot more of, you know, the Epiphanies and the.
Elizabeth.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, I mean, that, like I said,
well,
you know,
Maxie hasn't even found out yet, and that for me is going to be the key. Jen Lilly says she's not going anywhere. Fine. Next week, you better step damn up.
She's already been stepping up. There's been nothing wrong with that girl. She is a good little.
Did she just go well?
It is not her fault that Kirsten Storms ain't got it together. Whatever getting it together mean, I'm not dissing Kirsten Storms. But look at her. Half the women in my family got the endometriosis, and they go to work every day. That's what they said she had on the real soap or whatever it's called. But look at her. Endometriosis don't keep you off work for 4 months. I'm sorry. Jen Lilly told me to tell you she got bills to pay. It ain't nothing wrong with
I
that.
I don't have a problem with her acting. Well, you don't have a problem with her acting in terms of needing a job. What I'm saying is, she said she's not going anywhere. Everybody else so far in this storyline has delivered.
I'm doing my Britney.
I'm not expecting
that stand. Remember that Britney Spears stand? Leave Jen Lilly alone!
Okay, well, you're saying you're not saying anything about her, then why would you say step it up then?
No, what I'm saying is I don't have a problem with a person having a job and needing a paycheck. Like Jamie was saying, she needs work. But if she's going to be in the job so far...
Step it up denotes that she has not been bringing.
Exactly.
Yes. To me, I have found the character to be flat, and I don't think that she has. But she will if she steps it up. There's an opportunity for
her. She's playing it like it's written. They've written her a lot more shrill as Maxie, but she has no control over what Garen Wolf was writing.
You know, I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna go with, you know, I've not been a fan of her. I don't know her like from a can of paint, but you know, maybe with new regimes, things will change for her. So,
And I think
not my favorite.
They have not been writing. They're only writing Maxie's evil side. They've not been writing her human. I mean, when they
quirky side,
Yeah, they haven't written the comedic Maxie. I mean, when she's sitting up there, you are so selfish, Robin, because you won't go, you won't stop trying to save people's lives and go to this ball with me. That's, I mean, that's a flaw of the writing. I mean, you know.
Yeah, because I want
the Maxie we know and love if she's not written like the Maxie we know and love.
Mel, what were your thoughts on Robin's passing?
The acting and everything was great. I was in love with Ada. / Finola Hughes before the first episode where she came back even finished airing. John J. York, we've been saying it for a long time that this man never lost it, and please put him on the canvas more, and he proved why he needs to be on there more. Broke my heart into a million little pieces and then a million little more. He was amazing.
I had a choke just now when you said broke something.
Indeed. Stop that. Jason Thompson, he also did an amazing
job. He was so brutal to Sonny, though. They make me sick. Sonny loved that girl, too.
See? But they're playing the beats with that. But go ahead, Mel, because I'll tell you why.
I remember that. Mac has always blamed Sonny
Mac has also blamed himself. That's why he's been so harsh and so strict on those girls, because he's always blamed himself for Robin having HIV. When Robert threw that up in his face when he first came back, I was like, how could you let her? And when he said it to Robin, when Robert was like, how could you let Mac, wasn't a good parent, how could he let you? And Robin and Mac almost took his head off and they were like, look at here. But it's always been a sore spot for him, so it was, oh.
Mel, you had my favorite tweet of the week in relationship to Star and Cole's arrival and the fact that you wanted Mad Marty 2012 to come back and throw mobsters off roofs.
Just saying. I mean, if Cole has to die, does that mean we could get Marty back and she could just take the mob out one by one? I'm okay with that. She could start throwing people off roofs. I'm just okay with that. Mad Marty 2012, hashtag Twitter.
I added it to this weekend's version of Soap Bites because I loved it so much. Jillian, what are your thoughts?
I want Mad Marty to take out that Anthony Zaccara. That fool. Catch me, Sonny! I was like, you know what? You told me that he and Tracy were viable. I hadn't watched Friday's episode of GH because I was like, I'm gonna cry again, and I don't want Ron, you're making me cry, running my makeup up. I don't think that's cute. But when I watched it, it was really, I was like, I really like Tracy and Anthony. And then when that fool jumped into his E class and was all Corinthos.
I was live tweeting it, and I said, you know, because I was tweeting, I said, oh my gosh. I said, for the first time, I see Tracy and Anthony as a viable pairing. He's so toned down. He's so tired. By the end of that episode, he was.
I was like, rescue my Tracy.
Green Goblin. He plays this character instead of channeling freaking
Carmen,
Gino or Brando, he channels the Green Goblin from Spider-Man.
Yeah, instead of channeling Junior Soprano, since we all know that Guzzo ripped off from the Sopranos and everybody else and the Corleones and all that, it was like, which monster?
I'll do. GH originally ripped off of Ben Kildare and, I mean, Dr. Kildare and all those shows in primetime.
I'm not saying anything's wrong with that, honey. I'm just saying if he's going to rip, if that guy who plays Anthony is going to rip off from someone, be someone from a mob show. I'm like, good God.
Need to get on a hovercraft and chase Spider-Man because he acts.
Jamie, they brought poor Cole back and they mentioned star-crossed lovers and the next moment he's in a car accident and most likely dead.
Well, he is in Port Charles, New York. He is in Port Charles, New York. Can't nobody drive. I said on Twitter, the DMV needs to, there needs to be no state, federal, county funding for the Department of Motor Vehicles in Port Charles, New York, because they ain't taught one person how to drive at all. You know, star star. I bet they wish they would have taken the Greyhound back to
Lexington. Remember the kids fell off, flew off that mountain on right. the bus.
A bus wasn't working. They'd be slung out, but they would survive, though, because that was the dumbest crash ever. All them people getting slung out of that bus and hit rocks, and didn't nobody die but one girl. But no, I did love the little intro of him schooling Star on Luke and Laura's history and the Cassadines.
And her throwing shade.
The Cassadines almost froze poor Charles. That was
funny. But now, when they lost me was when they compared their love to Luke and Laura's. I'm
like,
oh.
I said it on the Cole, did you go there? Oh, Cole.
Well, we've seen what happened to Luke and Laura's love. I guess maybe it was foreshadowing of his death.
GH purist are already mad. The you know the five GH purists that are mad that well
there's more than five.
Oh, it's five. It's about five because One Life to Live. You know people keep talking about well GH has always been the more iconic soap. Well, that's almost like saying Little Richard was the one with Rock and Roll. The last year of the show, it wasn't the most iconic show. One Life was dogging it in the ratings. Whooping that ass and spanking that bottom. So
spanking it like a $40 Kmart boy.
Bring over elements. Like, you know, it's like, so and so used to be the one. You know, that's like, you know, come on now. I mean,
really?
That don't make no sense. Who cares? What I mean, it don't matter. At this point in the game, that'll be good for headlines when it gets canceled. But what GH did in 83 ain't going to keep it on the air in 2013. So One Life had way more ratings and a more diehard fan base at the end. One thing I'll say about One Life's fan base, they seem to be more ride or die. Even the ones who were pissed off at Frank and Ron, they still watched. GH has a fan base that if you piss them off, they will turn off the TV. If their favorite couple is not on, they will turn off the TV.
Tutoy, you're dead to me. Tutoy.
That's not helping. You know, that's and all these people who are like, I would rather see it be canceled than bring up. Well, why are you logging into soap message boards talking about soaps if you're that angry that you're not getting your little specific way that you want them canceled? That's crazy as hell. You know, but anyway.
It's not like General Hospital hasn't given us reason to be upset. I mean, we had a petrified womb give birth to a baby.
Luke, they have given us reasons to be upset. Go outside and get some fresh air and eat a pickle. Go to the homeless shelter. It is not that serious. It is a TV show. You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying, but at the same time, things like Lisa wielding a vial, a syringe of Robin's blood, and various other stuff have given people reason to tune out.
It does, but I'm talking about the levels of angry fandom. Yes. I Lord knows I can be an angry fan, but it's not that serious to where I'm going to say I wish the show canceled. Well, look, when I got through watching Guiding Light, I didn't wish it canceled. I just stopped watching. You know, I just said I can't look at them in no field no more, clipping coupons and going to the grocery store and seeing all their Procter & Gamble products. I largely do. Look, Sharp Tisha, you know. I just was like, okay, I'm going to watch this one day a week for the podcast. I didn't start, you know, bringing out my Ellen Wheeler voodoo dolls and sticking them. Yeah! I want the show to go off the air. And you see that a lot with GH. You see that, you know, if it can't be what it used to be or what I want it to be, it just needs to go off the air. Well, hell, what you going to log in and talk about then? Because you over here mad. You talking about it. You know, I just don't get that sentiment. It's a TV show. At the end of the day, it's what we've built our business on, but it is still just a TV show.
Well, there was a little bit of good news this last week. Mel, Jess Walton is staying with Y&R.
I'm glad, because I've been seeing a lot of Jill lately on Young and Restless, and she has been very missed. We need to put our focus back on the veterans, Young and the Restless, because when we do that, the show is more enjoyable.
You mean you're not enjoying Daisy Duke scheming and conniving in bad clothes?
Listen, she is every day she is ruining my memories of Dukes of Hazzard, and it's not very good. Jillian, what did you think of Daisy's trial and the fact that she's now free?
Here, in the words of that witty and bad tale, Marion Gilbert, die! Just die! I don't understand. I really don't. And I, you know, I went plumb off on Twitter. I took it, you know, I don't understand why Maria feels as though if she crams this character down our throats, we will get Stockholm
to spite us.
People have told me before that if
the bloggers or the online community doesn't like something, Maria will keep doing it just to spite the people who criticize her.
That's what I said on Twitter. I'm like, you know, but it's not only us that can't stand Daisy.
I didn't mean us. I mean the online community as a whole.
That's what I'm saying. It's not only us, the online community, or DC. The magazines, none of them like the character. None of them.
She's so arrogant
And that's what I said on Twitter. Arrogance, this is not the time when they love to holler out, we're number one. You're number one against four soaps. Woo, girl, child. That is nothing. Your arrogance, ask Chris Goutman and ask Ellen Wheeler what their arrogance got. A pink slip.
And she knows this girl cannot act. I'm sorry. Anybody with the instincts of a slug that's been salted on a carport knows that girl cannot act. She just keeps bringing her back because she is so arrogant and wants to show I can pick a star. No, you didn't, you dummy. You weren't impressed with Wilson Bethel, and look at him. He's on primetime, kicking ass and taking names. And you keep bringing back this ridiculous little girl who cannot act, Maria. You don't have any instincts. You need to go shopping.
You know, if you're going to keep Daisy around, recast her. If you're going to do that, or you need to, if you can find me five people that are not related to anyone at CBS and Sony or a Bell or a Sheffer or whatever that.
Some folks ain't thinking about.
Or a Zimmer.
No, or a Zimmer or what's Scott's last name? Whatever.
Hamner.
If you can find someone that is not related to them. That says that this girl and this character is a breakout, that I will stop harping on it. But she's not. For Lauren Fenmore to be scared of that girl and packing heat like she's crazy.
The fact that they had
or what?
They had Lauren going to a gun range to practice her shooting against Daisy. I'm like, are you kidding me?
And Lauren whooped Sheila like a 5-year-old just showing out in the mall. She beat her down in that
Those
lab.
Those fights used to be epic on Bold and the Beautiful and The Young and the Restless. It's like Lauren would whoop Sheila's behind. They were even. You know, one time Sheila would whoop, one time Lauren would whoop.
Right.
One time Sheila would whoop, you know. But it's like, I don't believe that these silly little children would scare Lauren Fenmore. Not only does Lauren have scrap history with Sheila, but I would never forget that time her and Big Tracy.
Yeah!
Big Tracy, stop it.
And, you know, for this little girl to best, not only Lauren, but for this little girl to best Phyllis Newman, are you for real? I'm insulted for Tracy Bregman and Michelle Stafford. This is ridiculous. It's like Maria is hell-bent on trying to find her next Sheila Carter that she is sabotaging her show. Don't do that. Chris Goutman, Ellen Wheeler are all out of jobs trying to do that.
Well, you know what was epic, Jamie? Adam on the farm fixing fence.
Oh, Jesus.
Puke.
You know, over a year ago, I don't know how long ago, we first had Michael Muni on the podcast. We started asking, why don't they explain why Adam acts the way he does? You know, did some farm animal try to sire him by accident on the farm?
Asked that.
You know, I'm like, I want to know what happened. And now, you know, after dressing up in purple and, you know, scaring Ashley into losing her baby and wiping up the afterbirth and burning it in the fire and stealing Sharon's chillings and trying to get his daddy sent to prison and everything. Now we gonna find out that life on the farm wasn't so Rockwellian. I don't care at this point. He's done too much evil for me not to go, oh, he had a bad life at the farm. Hope made him churn a little too much butter one summer. I don't care. I mean, you've waited too long. You've had him do too much nasty stuff that unless the Waco people, the Branch Davidians got a hold of him on that farm, it ain't going to be much to explain his behavior because you know, it's just stupid. And she, this is all Maria knows how to do, because Ricky comes back and he crazy. You know, what is, you know, there's so, that regime right now is so stuck on the same template, and they don't think we know it. There was already an Anita on this show years ago, you know, like Mel said, Britney's mama. So anyway, but no, that Anita and Chelsea is nothing but Deacon and Sean Young all over again. That's all they know how to write, is these grifters coming to town and doing evil stuff to the rich people. That's the only story she knows how to write, over and over again, just with different variations. Okay, this time they're not going to make anybody dress up in a woodchuck and ask how many chucks could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood. I want to know how many chipmunks does it take to write a soap opera. Is what I want to know, because it's just one bad storyline after another. And then she gets up in that press room at the Emmys and talks about her character-driven storytelling and all these Emmys, I mean, in all these interviews. You don't write character-driven stories. There's nothing in character that would make Kevin dress up like a chipmunk. There's nothing character-driven about people falling into volcanoes and dying. There's nothing character-driven about pesticide raining down on slutty heroines. There's nothing character driven about any of that. This woman is the textbook definition of a hack. She's just a hack with a famous last name. And I really, really, really wish that Mocha would, like, get into trouble again or something, so that she needs to spend more time on that, and that Bill Bell Jr. will find someone else to write what could possibly be the last few years of his father's soap opera, because this woman does not know what she's doing. Hogan Sheffer, love him to death. He's always needed to be reined in, or he will go straight to crazy town. So he has no one to rein him in. Scott Hamner is over there recycling every 80s primetime soap he ever wrote. And we just have the three supervillains. It's like that movie when General Zod and all of them came back to try to destroy Superman. Like, just stop! Superman has got to come and save us from the three supervillains of The Young and the Restless. And I think Superman is Kay Alden.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Days of Our Lives. Some very good stuff this last week. Sammy and Marlena and Will. Rafe finding out about EJ and Sammy. Will coming out to Marlena. Him getting pushed up against the wall so hard that it made the whole set echo.
Shut up.
What were your thoughts on it, Jillian?
Shut up about the set.
It was. It was like, I watched that scene. It was like, that poor boy is going to have a concussion.
Yeah, against the foam wall. Okay. I loved it. Will is becoming a little hellcat. I loved it. Marlena and Sammy's showdowns were fantastic. Even though Marlena got Sammy and she has all the evidence and the smoking gun, Sammy being Sammy is like, Hef, I ain't going down without a fight. You can't tell me nothing. I hold around because I thought my son was dead. You just hold around because you was a hoe. I loved it. Loved it in that kiss. I'm really surprised that Days went there. Kudos to Days. The buildup and everything was good. I like the fact that Will came out to his Nana. I love it. I love it to death. Days is firing on all cylinders. They just need to do a little sprinkle here and there with different things, but it was great.
Jamie, what'd you think?
Well, the best part of Days is Sammy, Will, Marlena. Starting back with their confrontations, I was loving it because that is so true to life. Sammy is so painfully unself-aware that even as she is messing up her grown child's life, she is still blaming Marlena for everything in hers. I bet everybody in any family in America knows people like that. I mean, it's like, come on, Sammy. It's time for some personal responsibility. The one thing I would have probably added to Sammy's defense in her dialogue, because not that this, you know, I personally believe this to be truth, but I know that how Sammy's mind works. The one beat she's missing in her argument with Marlena is, you cheated on my father. Yes, I cheated, but Rafe ain't really Will's daddy. So Will's anger, while he has a right to be mad, it's not exactly the same as you walking in on your mama cheating on your daddy as one of your many stepfathers that you've had over your life. Because, I mean, you know, we'll get a new stepfather every year. Brandon, you know, EJ, you know, it's not, to me, Will's turmoil is a lot more about him being gay and not knowing how to deal with it. Because I'm, looking at it as a child of, you know, a broken parents and all that, I might get mad at my mama, be like, "Mama, what you doing?" But I'm, you know, it's a little different when it's your daddy than just your stepdaddy. Because I'd have been like, "Oh, well, mama being fast again." You know, you know, Will is acting like that was Lucas. I mean,
yeah.
That Sammy, and Sammy did hoe around on Lucas with EJ too, you know.
I mean,
I don't know why this is the one that just made him snap with Rafe, because he knew about his mama messing around on Lucas.
But see, but I think that what the reason why Will is so upset, at least from my perception, is that, first of all, Rafe is the first solid rock. When you look at the men that have been in Sammy's life, most of them have been very unstable or up to something. Rafe has not been. When you look at how he has completely accepted the family, there has been no fighting with Sammy about the kids and the epic struggles that have transpired with Lucas and EJ over children. Rafe just accepted them all as his own. In some way, it's sort of like the John J. York Mac on General Hospital. These are his kids, whether they're his by blood or not. And for the first time, Will was experiencing some stability in his life, and he was seeing it in his mother, and he was seeing how happy she was. And what did she do? She went and completely destroyed it all.
Bravo,
and to me, I think that's the reason why Will is upset.
I think that's a part of it, but you know, I get, like I said, coming from that world. I mean, it's like, what's your parent? What's, you know? I don't know. To me, he's overreacting in the regard that, again, he didn't react this hard when she cheated on his father, when he found out all the lies that she told about his paternity. And maybe it is a situation where this is just like the straw that broke the camel's back. And they are playing that beat that he's just like tired because he's had to deal with this his whole life. But
see, seeing Lucas and Sammy, though, it's a matter of Lucas and Sammy were always at war. He grew up with them at war. He never really, I mean, yes, there was an occasional moment where they were happy together, but did he really ever think that they were going to be because of everything that these two had done?
Well, Sammy, and since these are comparative stories, Sammy once believed John was her daddy for 6 years, and she still reacted that way with Marlena. So there's always been dysfunction. Yeah. And to me, and I'm going to be honest, that's probably part of why, like, I'm not a fan of Safe. And I'm just like, can someone just hit Rafe with a bus at this point? Now, Galen did an amazing job this week. And I like Galen as an actor. I enjoyed it early on when they borrowed from Marlena and Roman's early courtship with the cop having to protect the diva. But after that, I mean, it's just kind of been boring.
Rafe should have been her homeboy or something like that.
I mean, you really did kind of feel like Will had a better, Will was more in love with Rafe than Sammy was.
Luke, you're just taking the words right out of my mouth, because I see why Lucas is not torn up about Sammy and Lucas, because they were unhealthy. They were aces. They were sidekicks. Like,
exactly.
That was Batman to Sammy's Robin, you know? Like, well, you know,
other way around.
But you know what I mean?
But whether your parents are dysfunctional or not, most kids still want them to be together.
Not me. Not in the Bo household.
But I think that the difference for Will is Will had never seen his mother truly happy.
Yeah, she was happy with Brandon. She's been happy with messes up the relationship with dudes in her life.
She does that is very true. But when I think about even when it was Will was the skinny haired or the skinny kid with the giant.
It's the same character. We don't have to go through the different cast.
But even way back then, it was like he was always pissed off about the fact that his mother was doing something bad and that his parents were basically going after each other.
because there he knows that they're toxic. But Rafe is.
I guess another point of my contention is also Will's age in this, because he's grown. You know, that's another thing. You know, I don't know.
Sammy's twice his age and still hasn't got over it.
I'm not talking about him getting. He was grown when he walked in and saw them. So to me, your reaction, Sammy was what, 15 when she walked in on Johnny Marlena? Will is grown on his own. Like, to me, that would have just been, I would have been like, Mama, what you doing? I don't know. I guess I'm just different or more jaded or cynical, but that just wouldn't have destroyed me.
I would have been like that too.
Well, let's talk about Alamania for a moment.
Must we? Now, we just went from a good storyline.
Let's talk about something else.
Well, we have to talk about it because it's a major plot point, and the fact that they're foreshadowing it before Stefano kidnaps us.
I knew that it was going to lead into the next 6 months of groans when Marlena uttered these lines. I'm just afraid that Stefano is going to turn them back into the pawn in Princess Gina. I said, "Oh!" It's like a guttural noise came out from my spirit. Like, because, you know, we knew that it was going there. It's like, no, really? But I'm like, I was hoping it would be something else. I do not want to see that madness. There are a lot of people who were fans of that.
I didn't like it the first time around. Me either.
I'm sorry. Like, John and Hope as the Pawn and Princess Gina were hokey. They weren't up there with the good days crazy stories like The Devil Possession or Vivian Barry and Carly Alive or, you know, Kristen Susan et al. It's like, no, that was so stupid. That whole storyline, that old woman in that attic looking, you know, being Hope and really being Princess Gina, then believing Princess Greta was really, it was just all stupid. It was just this convoluted mess. And then John as the Pawn, you know, when he first came to town, that was amazingly intriguing because that was back, you know, we thought Roman was dead and Marlena was having all these forbidden feelings for this man. And, you know, that was hot. But the Pawn in the late 90s was stupid.
His brain's on a computer disk.
That wasn't the Pawn. That was Robo John.
I know, but I'm just saying, we've recently seen John with his brains on a disk, and now we're going to get him
back. Last time we saw the Pawn, he was stumping Princess Gina, aka
on a submarine,
and I don't want to go back to that madness.
I don't want to see Stefano Pawn on her either. Oh, Jesus, no!
This is what Days is. They are like the three little bears. Days is like the three little bears. You know, they keep screaming they want to go back to family drama, blah blah blah, and that's basically too cold for Goldilocks to eat, and then. Over here you have It's Too Hot, where they want to just go back to the ultimate craziness of Alamania and Princess Gina at the Pawn. Can we just get the just right porridge, you know, which is the delicate mix of family drama and a little bit of the crazy, but not too much crazy? I mean, that's a hard thing to master, but I think James Riley mastered it during his first stint, you know, because you had the craziness of Buried Alive and The Devil Possession, but you also had the good stuff of Bo and Billy with Lisa Rinna and Robert Kelker Kelly and the Lawrence Carley Bo triangle. You had a lot. It was a delicate balance of the crazy and the normal, but I think that ever since he left that first time, they've been trying to figure that balance out and they can't. We've had the last 3 months of quote unquote back to basic stories, and they have been pretty much snortastic up until the Marlena stuff and Will and Sammy. And, you know, I'm over some of the stuff, though. Some of it, you know, we haven't really delved into this reboot lately. It's like some of this stuff has been wrong. I do not believe at all that Jennifer Horton would ever, ever have convinced someone to cheat in an election. When you start having your heroines doing things that are out of character, you run the risk of really driving.
She's a journalist.
the rest of the way off. Jennifer is one of the most principled characters in the history of soaps. She would not have done that.
She should have been investigating it.
You know, for her to be, it was so childish. It's not fair that Edith's winning. We have to cheat too. That whoever wrote that doesn't know anything about Jennifer Rose Horton at all. You know, it's like this days became the game of life. Like, let's just have everybody get a new job and just fit their story around these jobs. But character kind of got left to the. We already know what Jennifer and Jack's job is supposed to be. They're reporters. They should be reporting. They should be clashing and reporting on the drama that goes around Salem. That's a perfect Greek chorus for the show. Everybody shouldn't have to be working at this stupid university. Why is Marlena at the university? Marlena is supposed to be talking to crazy people, you know, and everybody's a model. All those children couldn't be models. Let's be real. They all couldn't be models. Let's just be real. The only one who could be a model is Casey Diedrich. The rest of them are all short. They can't be. Stop this madness. And why, I've said this before, but it's still annoying the crap out of me. The storyline where Kate and Madison are fighting over a brand new day spa opened by a pimp. The leader, the head of Revlon, and maybe it's Maybelline, are not arguing about who is going to display their wares in a local day spa in Buttfudge, Missouri, or wherever Salem is supposed to, you know, mimic. I'm going to show Mad World in this spa that no one goes to but these children who go to the university who all work here. Ha ha ha, Madison! I am going to show my Countess W products and my new blue hair weave extensions exclusively here. It's like, what is this? This is not a storyline. This is stupid. And I do like the fact that Ian Buchanan has arrived because he has added a much-needed dose of sex and spark to that feud. Because before, I'm like, y'all just seem, you're two amazing actresses, powerhouses, Lauren Coslow and Sarah Brown, and they just had them acting out like plot lines from those My Network TV telenovelas, like Fashion House. Ha ha ha, Madison, I see some wrinkles on your forehead. No, Kate, I see some wrinkles on your butt. It's like, give me a break, you know? I mean, I don't know. I'm still, like, again, it's like, it's sad that we've gotten to this point where better than the last regime is the new black, but it's definitely better than Dina Higley, but...
And not basic black, but we're going to move on to B&B. Mel, what did you think this last week of Bill wanting to sex up Brooke?
Oh my God. Y'all know I don't watch Bolden Musical, and I just happened to catch that episode, and when he looked at her and the screen went a little fuzzy and she started undressing her with his eyes, y'all, I almost fell on the floor laughing. It was so funny. I was like, okay, Bolden Musical, I might have to check you out again just for the sheer fact of comedy. Oh Lord, that was funny.
Well, and this, I mean, there was some other comedic elements this last week. I mean, one of my favorite ones was when Bill, Katie, Ridge were all at eating supper together. And, I mean, Ridge and Bill were quite hilarious. But I still do not understand Bill's obsession and apparently everybody else's obsession on B&B with Hope's sexual state, shall we say.
I don't understand that either. I think it's very...
It is preposterous.
It's skeevy.
Skeevy. I mean, the fact that you have Brooke basically saying... I mean, basically... it's like Brooke is basically, in essence, wanting to pimp out her daughter.
I love Mr. Brooke Logan. See, Brooke is telling me and my family, we laugh about women like this. You know... there are the women who tell their daughters, oh, wait till marriage. Brooke is a real G. Brooke is like, girl, you better get that man some good before he gone and leave you, girl.
I don't, you know, I can understand Brooke doing that because she's a Hellcat. I just think it's skeevy that Bill is so concerned if his son is getting his back broke. You would think a millionaire, a billionaire, whatever air Bill is would not be concerned about that. He would be like, boy, keep it in your pants because you don't want those heifers to roll up and pregnant.
Not only that, but if you think about it, why in the world, if Liam is that idiot of a person who has no grounding whatsoever, why in the freaking hell would any parent, regardless of what their child's own behavior is, want their child to end up with someone who is like Liam? It makes no sense.
Well, they're making Bill is a totally very
unrootable character, and they're setting him up as the center of a triangle.
Which is basically what made them a buttload of cash for 20 years with Ridge, Taylor, and Brooke. I mean, it's a they're going by a template. I mean, all the outrage, it makes sense, but if you really go back and watch that storyline, it's very similar. Ridge has ping-ponged back and forth between these two women for 20 years.
But
and
then the parents weren't pimping them out.
Yes, they were. Yes, they were. You can chew it to talk. It's not going to change the fact that, yes, they were. I remember seeing the same scenes when there were point blank, I will give you a point blank, and Jillian knows because she's been watching as long as I have. Example, when Taylor Hayes finally revealed that Thomas was hers, I mean was hers, was Ridge's, and wasn't Thorne's, Brooke and Ridge were together. And there were two or three episodes of, is Ridge going to go back to Taylor? Is he going to stay with Brooke? And both Stephanie and Eric came over to that house to plead for their team. Eric was like, son, you have to stay with Brooke. She needs you. The kids need you. Because he was, and Stephanie was like, don't you listen to your father. He just wants to assuage his guilt for not raising Rick and Bridget himself. It's not your place. You have your own family with Taylor. And they both were begging this boy. Taylor was like, I mean, Stephanie was like, you need to go home with Taylor and Thomas. And Eric was like, you need to stay here and raise these strays of mine with Brooke, you know. And finally, he chose Taylor. And it's one of my favorite scenes in Bold and Beautiful History because Stephanie tried to be nice to Brooke for a change and was like, you know, Brooke, I know this is going to be hard, but, you know, Eric and I will be here for you. And we love Eric and Bridget, little Eric and Bridget. And this is why I get so mad at how they now simplistically write Stephanie is hating Rick and well, Rick, not really Bridget, because she loved those kids. And Brooke was like, Stephanie, you will never see little Eric and Bridget again. And she was like, you're going to keep me from those children? And then she's like, you selfish, nasty slut from the valley. And then Eric walks in and all he heard was Stephanie's part. And he was like, Stephanie! And then he comforted Brooke. I mean, they've always done this beat where the older people jump in.
They have done that. My point was just it's the parents this time. Like, it's not like for me when you have Stephanie and Ridge or Eric talking about Ridge, there isn't another parent over there saying Taylor needs to be the one. I mean, telling Taylor that you need it. To me, it's just like it's these two sets of parents. It's the same principle, but to me, it's like the parents just doing it on either side just seems skeevy.
I get what you mean, the skeevy. I just think Bill being concerned about his son's sex life is kind of gross. But the parents jumping in isn't a bad thing because didn't Beth jump in with Brooke and was like,
they all did.
Right. Yeah, like, you go get that Forrester boy, because you know she took him from your mama. I could have been the Forrester.
Stephanie basically knows the girth of that Ridge needs for his boxers. She's been so in his bedroom business.
I just expect Bill to come up with a bumper sticker that says, have you plowed my daughter-in-law lately?
Bill sounds like a normal red-blooded pig of a man. I have uncles and stuff who have said the same type of stuff when one of my cousins was getting really serious with a girl too early. My uncle was basically like, boy, when I was your age, I was bleeping everything I could. Don't, you know, straight macho men like Bill Spencer, I think that's pretty normal for them to say, don't be trying to settle down with some little goody-goody. Go out and get you some pie.
But see,
were they also in love with him?
But see, this is what I think.
Weird part, but you know, I think that's he wants to live vicariously through his son, the same way Stephanie has always wanted to live vicariously through Taylor's relationship with Rich.
Well, see, this is where I think Bill is a contradiction to himself, and I can see what Luke is saying in a sense. Bill was, you know, when Amber turned up and tried to pin that, you know, tried to pin that mulatto baby on Liam, you know, when she tried to pull that maneuver, Bill was all shades of mad and was like, why didn't you wrap it up and this, that, and the other, and blah, blah, blah. You know, you need to fight for hope, this and that. But now, all of a sudden, you know, he was all, she wants the Spencer dynasty. She wants our money. I understand that Steffi has her money, but a man like Bill would not be for his son falling twice for some heifer to trap him like that. He would be like, you need to stay with that girl.
He doesn't see her as trapping him. He sees Amber as a trap because she's from Death Valley and grew up in a trailer park. He says it all the time that he sees Stephanie as a worthy woman for his son, which basically he's saying, I think she's worthy for me, but I can't leave her because this heifer I'm with got a bad heart. And if I can't leave her and be with her, then you need to be with her. It's, you know, it's convoluted, but it's not like this came out of left field, like when Lucas said, the parents on the show have never done this. They've always meddled. The whole basis of The Bold and the Beautiful has been the parents meddling in the children's love affairs. Who do you think told Caroline Spencer that Ridge was cheating on her? Her daddy, Bill Sr. They've always been in their kids' bedrooms on this show. In fact, that's just a trait of the Bill Bell psychosexual soap thing. I mean, little Victoria Newman walked in on Victor banging Ashley and grunting and making noises. She was
pissed off.
I mean, Bill Bell has always, he introduced the perverted to soap opera. He and Brad, gotta love him, is following nastily in those footsteps.
Pussy. Yeah. Freak.
It would not be The Bold and the Beautiful if there was not a woman walking around in a titty waiting for a man.
The day I see them walking around in a moo-moo, I know Brad ain't at the helm no more.
The thing of it is, Brad definitely, and you know, that's the B&B is always trying to appeal to an international market. We've talked about that. They definitely keep it simple. You know, and Liam is definitely, you know, I think they played Ridge's love for the two women a little bit more nuanced because you really saw the whole Madonna whore thing going into play, the psychology behind it. Like, Brooke is this sexual temptress, you know, brazen, and then Taylor is this, you know,
like
you're kind of getting that again, but it's, you know, number one, it's faster paced, so it does just seem like Liam is the most fickle ass in the world, because whereas Ridge used to ping pong back and forth like every 6 months, Liam is ping pong
every week,
every 3 or 4 days. Yeah, I was gonna say every 3 or 4 days he ping ponging back and forth.
Right, so. I mean, you would have, like, it would be months, like, you would see Ridge with Taylor and he would just be like, oh my god, she's so worldly and cultured and I haven't seen the side of her before, and then Brooke would just bring out his inner freak elite boy. He would just be like,
I always used to throw that up, that, you know, that he knew, that Stephanie knew, you're just, you're, you know, it's just the flash of that sexuality, you know, because that also spoke to Stephanie's old frigidity, that she's so uncomfortable with a woman who is sexual. And, you know, I believe they're really going to delve into this with Hillary B. Smith's character. They haven't
said
who she's coming to counsel, but we know it's going to be Hope, because Hope, that whole virgin thing is not about wanting to appeal to some little girls who are trying to keep their cookie monster. It is about the fact that her mama is hoish. And I love Brooke, but she hoish. Brooke is hoish, and that has embarrassed that little girl growing up. And so she's like scared of sex because she's like, sex will end up with me sleeping with my daughter's husband and getting pregnant and, you know, being called the slut from the valley. So she is just like, I'm never going to give it up. Whereas Brooke is like, oh, honey, you better give it to him because a man ain't going to wait.
Well, we've got two final topics to cover real quick. First of all, going around the circle, what do you guys think of Jack Wagner possibly ending up on this season of Dancing with the Stars? That is what TMZ is reporting. We will find out officially this next week whether or not that is true. Mel?
Didn't he have like a hit song in the 80s? Was that him?
Ooh, shut up, Mel.
All I need.
There we go.
Have another one.
All I need.
Why not? Why couldn't he do Dancing with the Stars? He had the song in the 80s, so people might remember him, maybe a little bit.
Shut up.
Go ahead, do it.
He was also on Melrose to the Place.
Oh, I forgot. I forgot he was on that too. Go ahead.
Doom, 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 doom.
Jamie.
Do, do, do. Did anybody else when that show used to come on do their own opening? Like, you know, stand up and toss your hair like you would
no.
be. It was Amanda.
No.
I did. Okay. But
I just want co-sign and we just said no.
I love me some Jack Wagner. Jack Wagner is my G. I would have, as much as I like what the Bold and the Beautiful is doing, to me, Ridge versus Nick was much more interesting than Ridge versus Dollar Bill. Although Dollar Bill is kind of growing on me because, like I said, this week him admit to lusting after Brooke, he's such a pig. But anyway, back to Jack Wagner. He just got let go from B&B, and I guess he told me to tell them, look, I still got some pull in this town. And it's not just so much like the fact that he had that one song, you know, a couple of hit songs. He was on General Hospital when General Hospital was the hottest show on television, not just daytime or primetime. I mean, he is part of that era of GH that, you know, came up with Love in the Afternoon. So I think it's, you know, people will definitely, I really wish that he could also be on GH at the time, because boy, would they need that buzz. I mean, they're still going to get the buzz anyway, because whenever he's written up, it's usually, well, it depends. A lot of times you'll get Heather Locklear's ex, but a lot of people still always write General Hospital's Jack Wagner. But I would love for him to, you know, sign on with GH too, and, you know, bring Frisco back to, you know, see what mess that Maxie became. One of my good friends in the industry is forever telling me that they need to bring back Frisco and say that he's had Georgie this whole time. And I'm like, Soaps can do a lot of things, but we saw Georgie laid up on that on them steps like a slab of meat. But I'm happy that he's going to be on there. You know, I'm sure Sherry Shepherd will do good if she's
Jillian, what are your thoughts on Jack Wagner possibly being on Dancing with the Stars?
I think it's a good move. I mean, because everybody knows that once you're on that show, it revitalizes your career. You know, if you do so, if you're smart enough to do something with it, I ain't gonna point out no names, but whatevs. B&B wasted Jack Wagner because I really would have liked to see Nick versus Ridge, or I was liking the Nick versus Dollar Bill thing, and then they just fast forwarded, and then he just ended up with that Donna. It's like, really? Come on now. I really hope he does go on it, and this just boosts his career, because, I mean, it's not like his career is fledgling, but, I mean, I like Brad a lot, but Brad did him wrong. Brad could have done something with that cat.
Jamie, I have a question for you. Who is Emerson Brooks?
He's the dude that snatched up Erica Kane on behalf of the fake Erica Kane on All My Children.
And won an NAACP award.
That's the only reason I ever had to learn his name.
I know. Same with me. When I heard that he had won the NAACP award, I went, who?
I know!
Well, shut my mouth and call the chiropractor, because I think he had like 5 episodes, maybe. But I'm just playing. It was more than
that. Well, that's more than Tatyana Ali, who shows up twice a year.
I'm not going to hate on this man because he put in for it. This is my thing about it. He put in for it, and I guess he said, and it probably did not hurt that he had his clips probably had Susan Lucci in them, because, you know, black women still love Erica Kane forever. So I bet the voters was like, "Ooh, child, he was with Erica Kane and stuff." So you know,
oh
but
my God,
I just can't. You know, I don't. That's why I didn't even. You know, I blogged something about those nominations, but then I didn't even blog the winners because I'm like, you know what? And I'm not mad at them because I know daytime is not what they even thinking about anyway. But just do away with the categories. My thing is NAACP Awards. Just do away with the daytime category. Y'all tend to get it right with movies and everything else. Yeah, but y'all, you know, y'all be awarding Tatiana Ali and stuff. And that girl, like,
twice a year,
she is barely on that show, and all she does is say, "Hey, Lily." Yeah, I'm
she
over
doesn't
here with...
even talk about. You know what's so bad? Let me tell you what's bad. She doesn't talk about that show when you catch her on the red carpet. She talks about that bird show that is on TV One. Love that girl. I tuned in one time to watch it to see what it was about, and I tuned out. She pimps that show, I guess.
And the thing is, they said last year when she got the award that she was like, "Oh my God, I was shocked. Like, I can't believe I got this." Heffa, yes, you can, because y'all have to submit. You have to submit for that award. Don't do the Taylor Swift. Don't be out. Oh my God, I don't know how I got this.
Because then we're going to have someone pull a Kanye on you at that award show.
Dude, you know, you have to submit about that. I know that because my girl Victoria Rao told me a story where she says that the Young and the Restless hid one of her submission tapes one year. So I do know you have to submit.
See,
the fact that Debbie and Darnell did not get these awards the last 2 years, not to mention not even nominated. Well, Debbie was nominated last year. I don't think she was nominated this year. No, she wasn't. It's like, this is a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. They don't even, it's like, okay, let's find us a Negro to get us award to. That's all it is.
If for and, those who are wondering who were this year's nominees in the actor category, it was Aaron D. Spears.
And, right? And this is the thing. Oh, who cares? They don't care. It's a dumb award. Who cares? Have to be a Negro. Why couldn't Florencia Lozano have gotten it? Hell.
Oh, yes. I don't understand that.
Of color. How in high hell you giving an image award for a positive portrayal of people of color and... Florencia Lozano is not even nominated. That woman was fire. She made me want to caliente. Ay, papi. You know, I mean, I'm not going to waste my breath on that. I'm not going to blog them nominations next year. I'm not thinking about the NAACP Image Awards. That was some bull. They know it was some bull, and the people up there getting the awards, I don't mean them no harm because everybody won an award in life. But I wish I could have. Tyler Perry should have been there dressed like Madea and just snatched them awards right from them.
Well, on that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Add us as a friend on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Until next time, so long.
Come and catch me,
my country and western album, Moonlight and Moonshine, will be dropping this.